Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
And I'm Kathy.
And we're so glad to be with you here today. We're going to read a little story for the children called The Empty Water Jar, and it is by Soledad Caberte, as told to Ella Ruth Elkins from the book God's Greatest Sabbath Stories. When evangelistic meetings were held in the Philippines, Eutychus and Tessie Grippo, a young farm couple, attended the meetings night after night. Their hearts were touched by what they were hearing, and before long they were baptized and joined the local church.
One of the many new things that Eutychus and Tessie learned was to reverence the Sabbath. It was very important to them to have their cows, goats, chickens, and even their harvested corn taken care of before the Sabbath hours.
One Friday afternoon, as Tessie was hurrying about, she glanced at their large empty water jar with a tired look. "I don't have time to fill the jar with water now," she thought, "or I might not be able to finish all my work before sundown."
So Tessie and Eutychus hurried doubly fast to put their animals away and to gather in their harvested corn. They were so tired and thirsty. How they wished their water jar at home had been full, so they could have taken some water with them to the field.
At last, all the corn was gathered in. The sun was still shining above the treetops as Tessie and Eutychus hurried to the house to get ready for the Sabbath. Tessie grabbed a smaller water jug and hurried outdoors to get fresh water to fill the big jar that still stood empty.
As the water began to run into the smaller jar, it got heavier and heavier. When it was half full, it felt so heavy that Tessie was afraid she'd never make it back to the house without dropping it, so she decided not to fill it any more. Oh, how heavy that water seemed to be!
When she finally got home, she started pouring the water from the smaller water jug into the big jar, wondering how many trips she'd have to make with a heavy load like that before the big jar was filled. 4 trips might do it, she groaned inside.
The water from the small jar just kept coming and coming. Tessie's eyes grew wide with astonishment. The big 38-liter jar was now full from the half-filled smaller jug she had just poured in. There was plenty of water for the Sabbath, and she would not have to go back for more.
"Eutychus," she called excitedly, "come look at this water jar. It's full. Did you pour water in there when I wasn't looking?"
"No, I didn't," answered her husband. "But maybe God did when he saw how hard you were working to get everything done before sundown."
So that is what Tessie believed. Her neighbors frowned when she told them what had happened, but Tessie knew what she had seen. She was greatly encouraged as she thought about her caring and loving God, who made the Sabbath for us.
Yes, it's a nice story.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Cindy Boltema, and she has given us a beautiful picture of God's love and how he can redeem even the most severe circumstances for his glory. Now, the product that you are sharing with the audience is a DVD product.
Mm-hmm, of my story.
Of your story. So I wondered if you would kind of set the stage, and then I have some questions to ask. Set the stage as to what happened and why we are here today.
Sure. As a little girl, I did not grow up in a home that paid much attention to God or to the Bible. My parents were married, but my dad was very distant and was pretty disconnected physically, emotionally. And so as a little girl, I tried to fill the empty spot in my heart. And you name it, I tried it. Food, men, alcohol, shopping, and even drugs. And then I found myself at the age of 24, a single mom, and I began to have a pretty serious cocaine addiction and nearly lost my life to an overdose at the age of 26.
So at the age of 26, you've hit rock bottom.
Yes. Yes.
So then what happened?
Well, there was a day that as I mentioned, I overdosed. I drove myself to a med center where they called my mom and said, "You need to sign some papers or your grandson's going to go to foster care." Mm. And as they loaded me on a gurney to take me to another hospital for more treatment, they said to my mom, "You probably should say goodbye to your daughter because our sense is that she'll be dead on arrival." And thankfully, I didn't die.
Yes.
But I realized that I had a choice to make, and it was time for me to figure this whole life thing out. And so I just thought of a friend's mom. I sat on my bed and thought, okay, how am I going to fix this? And again, I didn't know about God or Jesus or the healing power that's available to us. So I called up this woman and told her what happened and said, I need help. And she said a few very simple but life-changing words to me. She said, Cindy, you need Jesus. And at that time, I thought, well, I guess I'll give this Jesus thing a try. I don't know what that means, but good grief, I've tried everything else. And on that day, 1996, in my kitchen, I surrendered my life and said, okay, God, I've tried it my way. This time, let's try it your way.
And that did change everything for you. It probably wasn't immediate.
But absolutely.
But
it was the start of a journey.
It was the start of a journey.
A new journey, a new life, new hope, new peace. I quit my job, left all of my kind of so-called friends, and started going to church, started reading the Bible, and then put into practice what I was reading, surrounded myself with godly counsel, mentors to help me, and started a new life in Christ.
And were you able to get reunited with your son?
Yes. Yes, thankfully, there were no charges filed against me. And so, yeah, my son was doing great.
And so you and your son then now have started this renewed journey.
Yes, yes. Started going to church, started to have the Christian friends that I'd always wanted in my life, you know, good friends. And then I met a guy a few years later. But yes, I met a nice, handsome, but Bible-loving, Jesus-following guy.
What was his name?
His name was David Timmer. And not only did he love me, he had a special fondness for my son, Jake, who was 4 at the time.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, if I thought I was finally living like this happy Christian life. It was like one of those Hallmark commercials where the bird's always chirping and the sun is always shining. Like, that was my life.
And so did he ask you to marry him?
Yes, and I said yes. And it was just a glorious day. Jake was happy. I was happy. David was so happy. He had been married before and had 3 beautiful girls. And they were so thrilled to be a part of this new family. Mm-hmm. And my son Jake was so excited that he was going to be a brother. Mm-hmm. So everything just seemed great.
Yes, everything was great. And then what happened?
Well, about 5 months before our wedding, there was a day that I talked with David on the phone. It was about 5:15 in the afternoon, and he was checking in and said, okay, you're home now. I'll come by and pick you up. Let's go out to a nice dinner. And he said, I just need to check on one machine in the plant real quick, and then I'll be on my way. And unfortunately, I received a call later that when he went to check on the machine, that there had been an accident and it fell on him and David was killed instantly. It was just 5 months before our wedding and 2 weeks before Christmas.
So your life fell apart.
Yeah. My heart felt like it had just been shattered in 100 million pieces.
And when something that devastating happens, you have a choice. You can turn to your self-medicating ways.
Yes.
Or you can turn to Jesus.
Yes. And I think a lot of people wondered, oh no, what is Cindy going to do? But a mentor that I was meeting with, her name was Eileen. I would have tea with her every Tuesday. She was in her 80s. And I went there the first Tuesday after David's accident, wanting a little pity. I just wanted her to hug me, and she didn't feel sorry for me. But she said, oh, Cindy, dear, you have a choice. You can allow David's death to make you better or bitter. And I left her home that day determined that I would allow David's death, as hard, as gut-wrenching, as painful as it was, that I would allow David's death to make me better and not bitter, with God's help.
Wow, what a tremendous burden to carry. And yet all of us know that we have this hanging over our heads. If we live on this earth, death is no stranger to any of us. So as you start into the grieving process, give my listeners some tools that worked for you that may help them.
I think one of the things that was helpful to me was kind of embracing the pain, as hard as that was. And it was foreign to me because I was the girl that stuffed all the pain, that turned to everything from the world. But I realized if I was going to get through this valley of grief, I was going to have to walk through the valley of grief, not go around it, not try to gloss over it, but to experience and feel the pain as hard as it was. So that was really helpful to me. It was also helpful for me to share with others what I needed, because I learned quickly that people wanted to help. They just had no idea to help. And so to ask for things, if I needed somebody to watch Jake for a little while, my son, to ask for help, or if the thought of figuring out what was going to be for dinner was too much, people had offered to bring a meal. It was okay to receive help from them. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to talk about David, to invite friends over to look at pictures, or if I just needed a break, to say that too. Mm-hmm. People wanted to be there for me. They just were kind of clueless about what to do.
And that's a great lesson for all of us. What do we do when people we care about experience loss?
Mm-hmm. I learned so much, and now I teach my kids what is helpful to say. I almost used to have this imaginary book in my head of silly things people would say to me that were not helpful.
Yes.
So I've been able to help my kids and friends. Like, so when tough times happen, here are things that are really helpful to say. Mm-hmm. Here are things to do, like show up with Kleenex, fill the house with food that's cut up because they're not going to want to eat, but they're going to need to eat. Here are simple, easy ways just to show that they are not alone.
Now, have you put any of those items on your website?
I have, and I could relist those for you. And another option that's been fun is to be able to be a part of the Grief Share curriculum and share with other families what God has done. Because I think when you go through something like this, it's like a crash course, like a college course in a short time that God can use.
Well, yes, if you could share some with us. We have a few minutes before the break. And my listeners, you can go to Cindy Boltema. Boltema?
Uh-huh, Cindy Boltema.
.com. I'm going to spell that out, CindyBultema.com. And we're talking right now, we're in the grief zone. So things that you shouldn't say, or things that you should say when someone you love is in that grief zone.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I found that were not so helpful is when people would say to me, "Oh, Cindy, I know what you're going through. My dog died last week." And I'm so sorry for the loss of their dog.
Yeah.
But for a woman that has a wedding dress that thinks she's getting ready to go and be married and go on a Jamaican honeymoon, probably not the best thing to say. But what was helpful was just to say, "I'm so sorry for your loss."
Yeah.
Or what was maybe not so helpful is when people would say, "Oh, Cindy, don't worry. You'll find love again. You're young." But what was helpful was when people would remind me what a wonderful, kind man David was.
Yeah.
So that's just a little sampling. And what I kind of would do when people would come up to me and, you know, they just wanted to connect and they didn't know what to say. And so they'd say those things like, "Oh, Cindy, David's in a better place." I would just think of this imaginary book in my head and I would just think, "Oh, another one for the book." And just hug them and try to hear their heart, because they were just trying to connect with me.
And you said he had three girls.
He did.
And so did you stay connected with them in any way?
I did. You know, they didn't live in the same town that we did, about a 30-minute drive, but we would continue to see, we being my son and myself, we would continue to see the girls for a while. And now the girls are grown. They're in college. One of the little girls actually died of brain cancer, but the two other daughters are just doing great. One of them just got married, and they have a great relationship with the Lord.
You know, to experience two losses in the same family, your dad and in your sister, that's that's,
but they too
tough.
Have allowed the hard times to make their faith better and not bitter.
Yes, make it better and not bitter. Well, I'm talking with Cindy Boltema. You can go to her website, cindyboltema.com. And the title of your DVD is "He Loves Me, A Woman's Journey to Peace." And we've just gone through the sad part. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what has happened over time. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I am here with Cindy Boltema, and you are one of the authors of a whole series of videos called Day of Discovery.
Day of Discovery has videos that they produce from all over the world. And so what they decided to do was to take my testimony. They asked me if they could visualize it, take me back to my hometown of Kokomo, Indiana, and just bring to life what God has brought me through.
And so they can also obtain that on your website as well.
Mm-hmm. They actually can watch my testimony in its entirety for free right on my website.
And that's a wonderful gift. You know, it's a gift to homeschooling families that want that as a resource. It's a gift to just the individual listener who maybe is going through a tough time themselves.
Yes.
It is a wonderful story. So we left off where your fiancé had passed away, mm-hmm. and you had chosen to live your life better, not
yes.
bitter.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it didn't mean that it was easy. The grief cycle was long and hard, but I prayed very specifically, and I asked God to show me that He was in this pain, because I knew that I could get through anything just knowing that God was there with me. And one of the things that David used to say before he passed away was that he loved God so much that he would live his life for one person. He would lose his life for one person to know Christ. And so when we planned David's funeral, which was interesting, it was almost like we had planned it together. We thought we were planning a wedding.
Yeah,
but we had planned this funeral. And so I said to the pastor, we have to share Jesus mm-hmm. at his funeral. That's what David would have wanted. And on that day at David's funeral, my dad, who had been an atheist his whole life, my dad on that day decided to give his life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
So although it didn't make it easier, the pain was still deep, my peace was deeper
yes.
as I watched God revealing himself in the midst of this horrible time.
Yes. I mean, there are some that say, why, God? You have the power to prevent these kinds of things. It just doesn't make sense. You know, mm-hmm. why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that person?
What was helpful for me, because I had those questions, but then I realized I may not understand this side of heaven. So instead of saying, why me? I would say, God, use me. For mm-hmm. example, the first Valentine's Day after David's death, he was killed in December, so it had not been long mm-hmm. at all. So my first Valentine's Day as a single woman, I thought I could stay in bed all day long and
yes.
cry, and probably nobody would blame me.
Yes.
Or instead, I can choose to be better, and I can ask God to use me to make a difference in others' lives that too are having a hard day.
Mm-hmm.
So on Valentine's Day, I made a list of all of the women that I thought maybe it could be a hard day, whether it was they were divorced or single or their husband mm-hmm. was traveling, so they were alone. And I made a list and made these little Valentine candy things. And my aunt and I spent the day driving around,
wow.
giving hugs to all of my friends that Valentine's Day was a hard day. And that really helped me get through what could have been just a very sad day. But again,
yeah.
I could say, God, why me? Why me? Or, you know what, Lord, use me. Use
That's
me and
right.
bring good. Help me to see the treasures in this dark time.
Wonderful, wonderful testimony. We are talking with Cindy Boltema, and you can go to her website, cindyboltema.com. She has given her testimony in a DVD called He Loves Me, A Woman's Journey to Peace. And you also are involved in something else called Red Hot Faith, Lessons from a Lukewarm Church. And this is to be released in a year.
In the spring,
in
yes.
In the spring of this coming year. So you'll want to watch for that. Tell me a little bit about Red Hot Faith, Lessons from a Lukewarm Church.
Oh, sure. I am so excited about it. You know, I was teaching a Bible study in Grand Rapids, my hometown, and every week the numbers would grow. I started off with 14 women in my best friend's living room, and before we knew it, we had 200 women coming.
Wow.
And so I, one day, a friend of mine, she prayed, oh God, raise up a generation of women who are red hot for you. And I thought, yes, sign me up.
Yes.
And then I thought, oh my goodness, I'm a busy mom with four kids now. What does that look like to live with red hot faith? And is it even possible in our crazy world today? What does it look like? like to live with red hot faith. So as I sought the scripture, I came across the lukewarm church of Laodicea, and I thought, you know what? There's quite a few similarities between their church, their ancient church, and ours. And I think there's some lessons that we can learn from their church and Christ's message to their church that we can apply to our lives today. So before I know it, the Discovery Day of Discovery team, they found out about my study and they said, could we film this for you? Could we publish this for you? They even took me to Turkey so that we could dig in the ancient sites and bring this to life for women today.
I have often thought of that text where, you know, the Laodicea church and God says, I wish you were either hot or cold. You're just this bleh, and I want to spew you out of my mouth. And yeah, we want to be on fire for Jesus Christ, but we don't know how to do it.
Yes.
But you have some answers. So just in the next few minutes, there's so many things I want to cover. First of all, I do want to point out the fact that you now have 4 children.
Yes. Yes. That's an important part of my story.
Yes. We forgot that part. Yes. We went straight to the red hot faith.
Yes. God, you know, God brought healing to my broken heart. I thought that after David's death, I would be single, alone forever, that maybe someday when I was elderly, Jake would put me in a good home and I'd get to play bingo on the weekends or something. I don't know. I didn't think that God would be able to heal my heart, but he did. And almost 2 years after David's death, a wonderful man from church came alongside and looked. He said, it looks like you and Jake could use a friend. And so he started kind of doing the guy stuff with Jake, you know, playing t-ball, mowing the lawn, fixing cars, all kind of that stuff. And then slowly as God began to mend up my heart, stitch by stitch by stitch, one day I looked at him, his name is John, and I thought, now he is really cute. How come I didn't notice how handsome he was before? And I think I asked him out on our first date. And then and my son Jake was so thrilled because he loved Mr. John.
Yes.
And so Jake started to run around when Mr. John came over to our little duplex with mistletoe. Because in his little mind, he thought if Mr. John and Mom ended up under the mistletoe, they would have to get married. And that's what happened. John and I were married. We have been married almost 13 years now.
Praise God.
And we have 3 children. So Jake is a brother.
Oh.
And so very blessed. Very blessed. God has healed my broken heart.
Yes, he has. He wants to heal every one of our broken hearts. So now we can finish with red hot faith. And maybe you could just share with us something about without giving the whole thing away.
Okay.
Because we want our listeners to have interest in it.
Sure. You know, one of the things that I want women to walk away with from Red Hot Faith is just knowing their purpose, and that whether you are a single mom, stay-at-home mom, working mom, grandma, wherever you are kind of in the whirlpool of life, that God has purpose, and that it doesn't mean necessarily blogging to billions or changing the world as you feed orphans, that he has purpose in our life today. You know, there's some days that I'm too exhausted just trying to change my sheets that I think I can't change the world. But God says, you know what? Maybe I just want you to change one little thing. Maybe I just want you to be kind and have a listening ear when you go to the grocery store. Maybe that woman that you see when you go for your coffee, maybe she's having a hard time, and I want you to put away your cell phone and pay attention to her. That God wants to use us, that he has purpose for us wherever we find ourselves. But today, not someday, not when we lose the weight or life settles down or the kids leave the house, or, you know, or not used to before the divorce or before the bankruptcy, but that he has purpose for us today. And every day can be an adventure as we go out and look for ways to share our red hot faith.
Amen. What a wonderful way to end the show. Thank you so much, Cindy, for being with us. And
My pleasure.
The Lord will continue to bless you in your ministry. One last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You too.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.